This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season. This is episode 148. I'm Matt Cahill.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Just throwing you off a little bit.
Yeah, you got me on my toes there. Hey, Trabby, happy spooky season.
Happy spooky season to you as well. The weather has been awesome the last couple days.
I love fall. I said this on air. There is nothing... It might be one on the Mount Rushmore. The Mount Rushmore of
life's little pleasures,
life's wins is when you can crack the window at night when you sleep and that cold air rushes in and you can go to bed in sweats or pajamas and a shirt and get under your comforter, under your quilt, under your Afghan, and just bundle up like a burrito and go to sleep. I've slept so well this week because I don't sleep well with heat.
Mm-hmm.
I fidget around, but when there's cold air blasting in.
I thought you were a nude sleeper.
I am. That's when it's super hot out or in the summertime because I need as much cooling as possible. But when that frigid air comes in, that 37 degree night comes in, I'll put on some sweats or boxers and a t-shirt.
I'll tell you what's even better as far as sleeping goes, as far as, you know, comparing it to having the window open and the cool air coming in, is being so exhausted, right? And those rare days you see your bed and you're about to fall into it and you know that you can sleep as long as you want and your comforter is perfectly fluffed and your pillows are cool and fluffed and you know that you're going to zonk out
and you have no plans on the calendar.
And you could sleep for as long as you want. Uninterrupted, that is one of life's simple pleasures.
And that's coming from a man who has kids.
Yeah. Well, even back, like, just getting into a bed that, like, with new sheets on it.
Cold new sheets.
All that jazz. Like a perfect bed setup.
Yeah, you don't have the crusty sheets you're sleeping in or a sheets covered in your toe cheese and dirty, flaky skin. Well, so, I get you.
I was telling Mar earlier today about one of my life's simple pleasures, and he's like a weirdo. I think I'm the weirdo. I was like trying to hype him up. Mike Marr was trying to send Valdez and I the world's most boring video.
what did you say to him when he was explaining the video? I believe your quote was after he finished the sentence. How high were you when you were watching that video? I couldn't understand the video that he was hyping up. It was something along the lines of levels of thinking.
Levels of intelligence or something. Right? Okay. And it's he goes, it's a 30-minute long. He goes, YouTube's so silly, guys. I watched last night a 30-minute YouTube video on levels of intelligence. And he goes, if you don't make it past level 5, you're basically stupid. I made it to level 8 before I lost track of what he was talking about or something. I'm like, what?
And by the way, you got to
see more out of the blue.
You got to see the chart that's associated with this. The thing is color coded. There's a flow chart. It goes all over the place. I didn't understand it. It looked like the rainbow. There are a billion different categories, and I punched out after the first two sentences Mar was speaking to us.
It was a 30-minute long video, and so he goes, I need you to lock in and watch that, as he hands it to me during Hit the Skids.
I know.
I'm like, Mike, I can't watch this right now. You want me to take this seriously and be invested into what you're showing me? I'll watch it tonight in the shower. And he was like, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean watch it in the shower?
Like, he doesn't know your routine.
I'm like, yeah, Mike, I watch TV. This is how I watch YouTube in the shower. And I go, that's how I lock in with the, and I just love the hot water. And that's one of my treats. I treat myself to a long hot shower.
Yeah.
Probably because it's my quiet space.
I know. That's what he didn't understand is that Drab, it has the ability to watch stuff and lock in and be zeroed in because kids, wife aren't around. He's all by himself in the shower. And that's Drabby time.
And he goes, nah, I can't watch. I would never watch my cell phone in the shower. I need to focus on getting my body clean.
Yeah. I'm like, how dirty is your body?
I'm like, what?
I know.
Well, that takes, let me see, 3 seconds? Okay, what else are you doing?
I got about 4 essential areas I scrub.
Yeah. One area, 2 times. And make sure it's extra really clean. That's about it. It's all this focus you need in the shower.
It's like he's doing brain surgery.
And then I start showing him pictures of my shower sitting accident. From 2018. Oh,
yeah. He didn't know about it. He doesn't know about how much you love to sit, how much you enjoy the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So that was new to him.
I'm no longer a shower sitter after my tragic accident.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of spooky season, mm-hmm. We learned something today, and I think it really falls congruent with our Cake's theory about how he's not really the man of the house. There was thermostat talk on today's show.
Hey,
but it was the most interesting thermostat talk that we've had in a while. I did not realize that Cakes says he doesn't understand the thermostat. But Drab, I feel like
I was shot down.
I feel like you sniffed it out.
I know.
And it could have been explored more. Cakes is not allowed to touch the thermostat.
I think we need to get into something, and I need the listeners to back me up a little bit on this. Cakes is above reproach in this house. Like, you can't question. Like, Eric, I think, has a misread, and I don't know why because Cakes' wife likes him, and as D says, you know, or he says about D, I'm always in trouble. She's always yelling at me.
Yeah, yeah. He always has his head on a swivel about what he's going to get yelled at.
He thinks that Cakes is the shot caller in the house. Yeah. And I just don't agree with that.
Right.
I wasn't going to push back today. But let's remember, we're talking about Cakes here, who has comforters on his bed of little tiny dogs.
Of King Charles Cavaliers. He has his old dog sewn into the pillow.
He's got a giant tree in his front yard because what we believe his wife doesn't want to displace the animals in the tree.
Yes, destroy their habitat. What was the other one about the bats? There's a nest of bats in his house.
Yes.
That he's not allowed to exterminate.
And so I threw out the theory that Cakes isn't allowed to touch the thermostat because that goes to
Amy. Amy's
the boss of the house.
Yes.
And that's the way it is in every house. If you, in my opinion, if you don't control the thermostat in your house, you're not the
king of the castle.
The king of the castle. It's just one of those things. It's one of my tells.
It's like the armrest on an airplane.
And if your wife does it in your house, well, you might need to reevaluate a couple things.
You want to know why you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it harkens me back to my childhood and still today.
In my house,
my mom had to ask my dad permission to adjust the thermostat.
Right.
As a child, I was not allowed to adjust it, even when I figured out what the thermostat.
Kids are not allowed to touch the thermostat.
No, you're not allowed. And I just remember my mom going to my dad saying, Bob, can we turn the AC down? Or, right. Bob, it's chilly in here. The kids are freezing. We got to turn the heat on.
Right.
I remember that distinctly as a core childhood memory. And Cakes is like my mom.
Yeah, it's the same way. I mean, my mom, I don't think would know how to manage the thermostat, because in my entire life, my dad has had that thing locked down.
No, my mom knew how to operate it.
She just had to ask for permission.
Okay. Because if heaven forbid, my dad hears that AC unit roar, and then he's going to give her a talking to.
I take that back. If you can't figure out how to manage a thermostat, and how to operate it, you're a nincompoop. Like, you're just not an adult. What adult doesn't know how to turn on an air conditioner? It's actually impossible to me to think that you couldn't figure that out. That's why Cakes doesn't touch it. It's too complicated for him.
No, that's got to be an excuse.
I think it was an excuse. I saw right through it. I called him out. Bickle has forgotten about the tree and the animals and all that stuff. And he just thinks that because Cake's wife likes him the most, he's the big boss man.
No, and it's a very astute point by you, is that Amy's the boss of the house. Amy likes Cakes because Cakes is subservient to Amy.
Mm. Correct.
Yes. Cakes does no wrong because Cakes listens to Amy and all of her commands and demands.
Right. And again, I don't want this to sound like Amy is some tyrant.
No,
she's not.
No.
Amy is and Cakes, two of the world's nicest people.
Yeah.
We all know this. But there is a hierarchy in that house.
Yes.
And it's not John Oliver at the top.
And it's a matriarchy.
Yeah, it's a matriarchy. You're right.
Yeah. Also, think about this. Cakes, his entire life is about avoiding conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you avoid conflict?
You be subservient.
Exactly. Yes. You're a yes man.
Yeah.
And that's become so ingrained in Cakes's mm-hmm. day-to-day activities.
Yeah.
That the thermostat is just another one of Cakes's battles that he gives over to Amy.
We're going to have to, when EB gets here tomorrow morning, we're going to have to pull him aside and tell him what we talked about on the show and remind him how he was wrong today. Because that whole thing of him shutting me down and saying, oh, you're wrong.
What does he always say? He's the apple of her eye.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Those are two different things, in my opinion. Wasn't that embarrassing that he said he didn't know how to operate it?
Yes, it's not like rocket science. He's not like Elon Musk getting a rocket back into the space holder.
All right, let me ask you, what's more embarrassing then? Cakes not being allowed to operate the thermostat, or EB having his wife drive him around everywhere? EB's not allowed to drive.
I know, like he's a teenager and it's past curfew. I would say thermostat. Thermostat, really? Yes, thermostat.
Mm.
Because you can at least parade around like it's Miss Daisy, right?
Yeah. See,
and that's it. You're being chauffeured
Bickle
around.
Bickle always has a retort whenever I bring up the driving thing, because he always says, "Are you kidding me? She's my chauffeur, right?"
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see it that way. I just think that she wears the pants in the house. She determines when they'll get there, how fast they're going.
I would say this is what I would say, is that it's an unspoken compromise, because Dina doesn't like the fact that Eric's probably constantly on his phone when he's driving.
Yeah, but this has been this way for decades.
Is it
my only other frame of reference? Right,
mm-hmm.
is how I grew up. All right. My mom, never once in my entire life have I been in the car with my dad in riding shotgun.
Only when they've been drinking.
I mean, even then, I think my dad probably drove. I don't know. I'm all laughing at that. I'm just being stupid. My brother, okay? My brother has a very lovely wife, but she runs the relationship. And my brother doesn't get to drive the family car. She drives the car.
I wouldn't, to me, though, to me, I wouldn't bother me that much. Like, it's like I got to drive into work, drive over all over the place.
Let me ask you, you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
All right. So you say you're in a relationship. You're married. You got kids in the back seat crying, all this stuff. You're taking a weekend trip to Morgantown. All right.
Okay.
You're going to tell me you're going to let your wife drive you and you're just going to sit all these semis pass you driving in the left lane.
All right. Well, that's all the rules. All right. All right. I would be the driver.
Okay.
But anywhere else?
I'm going to get called a woman hater.
I know. Drabs using toxic masculinity.
I don't know.
I would say the thermostat is much less manlier than driving.
Right.
You can always get away with the fact that I just don't feel like driving.
Okay.
Because, you know, some people just dislike it. So, I think the thermostat, especially in terms of the household, is almost like the crown. That's the iron throne of household things. is who controls the thermostat.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Blake Griffin calling in today. He called in, if you haven't heard, Blake Griffin, famous on Junkies Twitter. He does a great job over there. He's been tweeting for years. He doesn't call in. In fact, today he said it was the first time that he's called in 10 years.
He's got a very-
Once he told me that he was calling from New Jersey, I remembered who he was.
Oh.
I remember what he used to call in at.
I was going
to
say, what was his previous call about?
I don't remember his previous calls, but I'll just say he used to be Mitch from New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't ring a bell, but okay.
For me, because I did the call screen for years.
Yeah. Blake Giffen or Jiffen rings a bell.
Yeah.
So his brand is Giffen.
He's been rebranded, but so he called in today, and I thought it was a great call. Good content as far as well thought out. You could tell that he reached out to us beforehand and had us pull some audio, which I can't believe we did that.
I know.
I mean, I was gone for half the show today pulling audio for Blake Giffen's phone call.
I know. I was trying to go through some of the audio myself. I was listening for 8 minutes and I didn't hear it.
Well, what the problem was, he kept giving me these timestamps from when he was listening to the Odyssey podcast.
And the podcasts have commercials
and like nothing was matching up.
Yeah.
And so he was giving me, October 4th, full show. Here's a timestamp, and it would be like 35 minutes off that timestamp or something. I'm like, oh my God.
Dude. I mean, you're looking for a needle in a haystack.
But I found him. But I thought it was funny. Cakes handled it well.
I know. Usually when you call out Cakes on stuff like that, he gets kind of defensive. But he wasn't defensive. And to be honest with you, I wasn't aware of the shove it verbal crutch. And I know for a fact that I'm going to hear it nonstop now in my head.
I think that will be something that Cakes is able to stop.
I think so as well.
Yeah, I think he'll. And not that it was used too much. It just, I think JP was on to something. I think maybe it came from poker. I don't know, but
it had to have come from somewhere.
I mean, Cakes is in what chief interest is poker, and that's kind of a poker term.
He subconsciously heard it and adopted it.
He heard Phil Ivey say it one time, and it's just been stuck to in the recesses of his brain.
Are you up to date on all of the guy's recent verbal crutches?
Not necessarily. I mean,
Jason's. You know Jason's.
Well, Jason's are
correct.
Yeah, correct. And the pen tapping, and the coughing. Those to me are all one thing. I think JP says correct a lot too.
I know JP has picked it up from Jason.
Yeah,
because usually they are the two who have a back and forth.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, JP has adopted it, but Jason was the major proponent of correct. JP's verbal crutch. It's all about the quarterback.
I don't think that's a crutch. I just think that's what he honestly believes football comes down to. It's a one-man thing.
And then Eric's, I don't know, Eric, back padding machine.
Well, no, those.
Again, I know, I know.
I think he's even doing the over my skis thing to be funny because he keeps tongue in cheek. He's only saying it about that one thing. A verbal crutch to me is you're saying it. Yeah, you know, once every 10 minutes about everything.
Correct.
Like how Mike Morris, his verbal crutch, his new verbal crutch is, whatnot.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
I got to have a talk with him tomorrow.
Hey, he can't do that. That's an old Don and Mike bit.
I know. I know.
The what? Oh, my God. We got to get the whatnot alert out.
Oh, now, look, it hasn't been on. I haven't heard it on air, but I heard him talking to JP after the show today, and I kind of was locked listening to the eavesdropping. He said whatnot 13 times, and in 2 minutes I was listening.
Do you think that's only funny to us? Or do you think there's any old Don and Mike listeners out there that understand the whatnot alert?
I do know this. If you tell someone that they say whatnot, they'll
shape it up.
They'll shape up real quick, because then you're like, oh my God. And it's so obvious once you say it after you realize that that's a word that you use too much. That is whatnot is nailed on a chalkboard to me. believe me, I've mispronounced 10 words already this show.
I already noticed. Would you say chauffeur?
Chauffeur. How do you say that word?
Chauffeur.
Chauffeur. Yeah. Who cares?
I know.
No. I'm saying I'm a disaster. What I'm saying. But I don't believe I have a ton of verbal crutches besides
ums.
But I'm not repetitive phrases.
I definitely do. Is definitely one of mine. I say definitely a lot. To be honest, I say that a lot.
Wasn't to be honest one of the thing? Oh, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
That was the junkie's verbal crutch for the show.
And I think we adopted that as well.
They'll let us know.
I know.
Verbal crutches. It's tough to identify your own. Someone has to tell you.
I know. When they tell you,
you're like, oh my God, I'm an idiot.
Yeah. You feel like a doofus.
No. So I hold on. Before we move on.
Okay.
Talking about Blake Giffen. What did you make, since you were probably unaware, that Drab is involved in a listener group chat?
It's almost like super secret.
I felt like the show members had felt that I stabbed him in the back somehow.
I know. For whatever reason.
Why do you guys think that?
I didn't think that.
I know, but the room got kind of quiet, and then EB was like, oh, I don't want to see that.
JP
was like, hand over the phone.
To be honest, I feel like they probably are inundated with hate. People pass along messages to them. They probably get mean tweets. JP probably sees mean tweets. Mm-hmm. Eric probably sees mean tweets or people telling him, it's unprofessional to eat on air, stuff like that. So they're just inundated with commentary that's critical. Mm-hmm. So he just assumes... people are being critical
of the
show.
You can go back to listen to Blake Giffen's call. It was revealed that I was in a group chat with Blake Giffen. I think I revealed it myself.
You did. Richmond John.
And John DePompa. All right. I don't even know how this group chat started. It's on Twitter. We just sent it.
Hey, I bet you there's a lot of jealous people out there.
I know. How many people want to be on that, in that group chat?
Why don't you start charging $5 cover charge?
I should, right?
$5 cover charge.
I could make it a lot more than that. We should do that on the side. Group chat.
No, Junkies Discord.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
$10 a month, Junkies Discord.
What do we provide in there? $5. You know, Junkies Discord, $5 a month, because I think we can get a lot of people in it.
All right, $5 a month. We participate. You have a community of members.
Mm-hmm.
We're in there.
What service are we providing?
I don't know. Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes?
Yes. We go behind the scenes, because isn't this podcast supposed to be behind the scenes?
Yeah.
So it's behind the scenes.
I know, but the problem with that Discord, like these are trusted guys. Now look.
Also, you get vetted. We have to vet everyone.
Well, then there would be 10 people in it. All right.
No, but we say that because it makes it sound exclusive.
Oh, but it's an open velvet rope. Everybody pretty much gets in.
Yeah.
All right. Now
we keep a line outside the door so it looks popular.
I'm not saying that the group chat is Joan free. It's definitely not Joan free, but it's not. There's nothing mean spirited in there.
I know. And when you were kind of dismissing, like when they're basically asking, do people talk shit about us?
Right.
And I knew you were kind of dismissing because it's
three super fans of the show.
Right.
Now look. Can John the Pompa have his own beliefs about how the show should be sometimes? Of course. Yeah. Okay. I have to put him in his place every once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. John the Pompa was upset. I think is upset with my Jaden Daniels stance on the show. John DePompa.
Speaking of super fans.
Hey, John DePompa revealed himself on Sunday. I know that.
Well, he did to you. He's a homer for sure. Commander's homer.
Huge homer.
There is slight Jonin in here every once in a while.
Give me like the latest topic.
Well, John DePompa was hyping up Mike Marr today.
Oh, yeah?
In the group chat. He said that, what did he say here? Well, again, this isn't joning. I'll just read. Because I was editing Blake Giffen's audio, so I missed some of Daryl Green. But
he put you to work.
This is what DePompa said. More Mike Moore on the show. On air. I get sized. His logic and thought process is but funny. Reminds me of Brett. And then Richmond John says, he's good. He adds to the show. Blake, he was so giddy also about filming that duty bit. A plus. And then Richmond John says, have him film Daryl Green pooping. Not often you get a chance to film a Hall of Famer pooping. This is the group chat, all right? For everybody wants to give us $5.
There's people lining up at the door. $5 for that genius right there. And then you know what we can do is we can make the current group chat that you're a part of, make those guys admins.
Right. Daryl Green's loogie is playing tight man-to-man coverage right now.
Did
Daryl Green have a loogie in his throat?
I was this close. I was inches away from sprinting to the kitchen to go get a smart water.
See, I missed that part.
I was very close to doing it.
That's the show. So, yeah, and if somebody says something stupid, one of the six or seven of us on the show, there will be light joning every once in a while, but it's all good natured. Nobody's, being mean out there. So yeah, maybe Junkies Super Chat.
That's a great name for it. No, but if you say it's a Discord, don't people know that you're paying for it?
I don't know. I think Super Chat is a thing that people pay for.
What platform do you use?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
For us, we use Twitter, but to have like something like notifications popping up on your phone, one swipe, you're back in the chat. I don't know these. I guess Discord, but. Not very many people have Discords. You gotta be like, you know, degenerate. Those are for like sports gambling stuff.
For sports gambling. Hey, let's take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about a few things. Number one, I want to talk about. I want to get it off my chest. I'm kind of bitter. I'm pissed off because I fell prey to a scam. So I want to talk about that when we come back. And then also, we got to get into the stake off. I want to call it the stakeout. I want to get into the rules. Who's the favorite? Is Eric going to remember? There's a lot of things to get into. But first, we got to let you know about Don't Sleep Energy. Our man, Mike. Hey, Mike, we're going to see you on Friday. At the charity golf outing.
Hey, we're back. The Matt and Matt show is back. We're doing a charity golf function again tomorrow.
Yeah, so Mike, we'll see you out there. Get some Don't Sleep Energy. I know they'll have some on the golf course. We'll need some after working a full week, going early in on Friday, then straight to the golf course after the show. Hey, get yours today at don'tsleepenergy.com. And if you use that promo code Biddies, you get 10% off every order, not just your first order, every order. I like to chug one on the way home or on the way to the gym sometimes. I definitely like using the energy shots for long trips.
When's my favorite time for a Don't Sleep Valdez? When do I have one every single week?
Thursday around 11 o'clock.
Around 11 a.m., right when we're starting bit season.
Right when we start bit season. Mike, I really enjoy the new look cans, too.
The silver bullet.
I think I'm drinking a Coors when I have one of those.
All right. Awesome stuff. Get your Don't Sleep today. Don'tSleepEnergy.com. Use a promo code BITSEASON. Save 10%. And we will be right back.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 148, a two-day parter, Drab.
It is, something we don't do often. We recorded part one on Thursday, and then during our break, we kind of sat back and thought about it. We're like, hey, we got the steak challenge tomorrow. Let's do a recap of that, and I think people will enjoy that more.
We had tech issues.
We had tech issues.
It's in the ether. We had a funny part two.
We did have a killer part two.
And you'll never hear it ever again.
The only people who hear it?
Us two.
Are the ones talking. It was funny. It was good shtick. But you know what? I think this is going to work out better because
of... We'll have a full recap of the steak challenge, steak off. What do we call it? The Great American Steak Off.
It had 100 different names. Who started calling it the Great American Steak Off? Was that you?
No, Cakes was doing that. Remember, my vote is to call it the Stakeout.
Stakeout.
Yeah, like your police.
Yeah.
Number one, Drab, how do you think it went? I will say, it was kind of chaotic.
Things are always a little bit chaotic.
Just because we had four people on one grill. Oh, you didn't understand how chaotic that was. That was a cluster F.
It looked like it was a lot of standing around from up here.
I got hooked. I got hooked so much because at first I put all my stuff on the left-hand portion of the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I go down there, when you come back up here and we kind of trade places, Mar takes that spot on the grill. I was going to use that left-handed portion, and I don't think that flame was that high on that portion. I had the good flame, and it was good fortune that Mar kind of took my spot on the grill.
Well, for a while, yours was you had an out of control flame.
No, I like.
Well, I mean, if you did that on purpose, maybe you did that. How did you do that?
It was
because Bickle was complaining about the lack of flames and heat.
It was because the oil on my steak. I used olive oil. I was the only one to use olive oil on their steak. And that helps keep the seasoning coated on the steak. Eric complains about his adobo falling off.
Yeah.
Well, if you put oil on your steak with the seasoning, it'll stick. So a combination of the oil, olive oil dripping from my steak, and then EB's butter on his steak was hitting the flame, and that makes the flame shoot up through the grill. So Cakes didn't have any kind of oil or butter on his, and then Mar had a skillet, so his butter wasn't coming in contact with the flame.
All right, so go back and listen to the podcast if you didn't hear, but I thought it was a fun, kind of wacky segment to do on a Friday. Hey, by the way, we told you there's no end to Bit Season. You just never really know when an idea is going to come together. We're able to pull it off. Everybody's into it. Here in just the last couple of weeks, we've had a toilet kissing. We've had a steak challenge.
It's very funny that just how the stupidest stuff gets the guys going.
Yeah.
Like something so minuscule, like cooking a steak on a grill. All of a sudden, everyone gets competitive. And when people start getting competitive, it gets fun. I was what was your biggest disappointment? It can be
Cakes.
Oh,
Cakes. And now look, I got to give Cakes props for taking the bull by the horn and going out and getting steaks. Okay. Uh-huh. But first off, nobody told him to get porterhouses. I thought we were all like,
I thought we were dead set on strips or a ribeye.
How thick? I mean, were those not a little bit looked challenging to cook in a short amount of time?
Well, you had a bone in there, you had a fillet side, you had a strip side.
It was pretty thick, and it just looked like
I had the thickest of steaks.
I thought we were all under the impression that we were getting strips. And everybody was going to get in a value pack. Cakes first off goes, porterhouse. Those sound good. I'll get those. But then he ended up getting three porterhouses and one T-bone somehow. I don't know how he did that.
I didn't. I had the one that was separate. Which one was separate?
The T-bone.
Okay. So I had the T-bone one.
Yeah. I think okay. So.
But mine didn't have the fillet on it. So I guess.
I don't. You're talking to the wrong guy. Okay. I barely know these things.
Okay, but I took the one that was separate, and that was strategic on my part. Just because number one, I wanted the thickest cut of meat. Just because I didn't want to overdo it, so I knew if I had the thickest cut, it was going to be hardest to have well done. And then also because I wanted to mess with Mar, because Mar was an idiot. He was an idiot.
Yeah.
And he told me which one he wanted. He was eyeing one of the steaks. So I swooped in there as quick as possible to take the steak he wanted. Because I knew that
steak. You were
steak.
That concerned about Mike Maher?
Look. In a race, you're trying to beat everybody. So I'm trying to get every advantage possible.
I don't know anything about cooking steaks. I know what I said yesterday on the show. Mike Maher is going to struggle because he's inexperienced.
You hit the nail on the head.
His inexperience showed all around out there. He's mixing spices that don't go together. He's taking the bad spot on the grill.
I think Tailgate Ted told us. And by the way, thank you to Ted.
No, Ted's awesome.
He was awesome. Lugs
all the stuff down here. Brings his van. I mean, the van is jam packed with equipment.
Also cutting everything perfectly.
Yep.
But Ted brought this to my attention. Dude, Maher was mixing like chicken spices together with everything.
I don't doubt it. He's a bit of a dog. Now, his confidence makes you think that he knows what he's doing.
I thought the way he was talking about the steak when he was during the segment about how well he cooks it, I thought he was a threat. And then watching him down there on the grill, I immediately saw he was the weakest link. To be honest, he should have been the last place person instead of Cakes, because his steak looked so bad. If I was a judge and I didn't have a blindfold, I wouldn't have eaten it because it looked so
I guess you didn't see Cakes's.
Unappetizing.
Cakes's was revolting looking as well. Now, the problem is that thing, his barely looked cooked to me. I mean, it wasn't cooked. If that was came to me in a restaurant, it would have been sent back, and I would have left. Actually, if they would, it was so it was uncooked on the inside. Half the steak, the only steak the part that we could get was the part that was a little bit cooked that was somewhat presentable. And then Cakes cut it his own up out there, and these disgusting chunks of steak.
It looks like something like you would feed to a, it was yeah. like, looks like something you would feed to a baby, or like table scraps for
so
your
Ted,
pup.
So Ted fixed his presentation a little bit, but clearly they were outclassed by Valdez and Bickle. I think you guys, the two guys that knew what they were doing.
We knew what we were doing.
Blind test proved out that you guys were far and above the other two.
You know what it shows? It shows that number one, Cakes doesn't do much grilling, I feel like.
Well.
Because he looked inexperienced,
you think
too.
Amy does the grilling?
Maybe. If I were in Cakes's seat, I would have immediately took my meat over to that open flame.
Mm-hmm. Try to steal some of it?
You got to get the flame. That's how you get the char. That's how you get the searing, the flavor. It's almost like he was slow cooking his T-bone. He put his T-bone in a crock pot.
He had about 12 minutes to get it done.
He had plenty of time. Oh, and also, this, I just want to say this. I did not use a timer. Eric and Cakes use timers. I think timers are for pussies.
Whoa, strong language there.
I think if you're a real man, you don't need a timer. You can see, tap the meat. That Eric was saying that too. Like, I can just tell. I tap the meat. I know when it's done. Right. No, you don't. You use the timer. It's almost like in baseball when they're telling a pitch. They're buzzing down. They're banging the trash can. They know what's coming. You can't use a timer.
But here's my problem with you thinking you're an expert.
Okay.
You really ricked me with bringing crab and cream of spinach.
Why? We talked about aside.
Because I knew you were going to do a bit. Like, I knew. No, first off.
All right, should I just stop doing stuff?
No, I'm not telling you to. I just know you so well that, yes, someone did say bring sides, but that wasn't a side. That was plopped on top.
What?
The crab.
Okay, well, you've never had a steak cooked Oscar style. I did my steak Oscar style.
I know, but that's not really a style.
I disagree.
But then
in terms of how your steak tastes, if you have crab meat and béarnaise on it,
don't you ever want to be known for something other than crab?
What do you mean?
Like, why does everything you have to do be involved in crab?
I don't
like
not,
every food thing. Every like. Is there anything else you're into?
Well, if we're in a PB&J,
you'd stuff crab in it.
No, I would not.
Yes, you would.
That would actually be funny if I did. not everything. Honestly, it's my brand.
We get it. You're from Maryland, okay? Everyone
dude,
knows.
I've lived in Virginia for 15 years.
I just knew you were going to... I'm not saying it's radio instincts because you feel like that you have to
do something
unexpected, keep everyone on their toes.
Of course. Yeah. I'm the guy that had the apron. I'm the guy that had chef's hat.
Right.
I gotta play the character. Look, I'm a character. at the end of the day, I gotta give you the hits. It would have been poor showmanship if I didn't come out. Look, you're upset if Gallagher doesn't smash that damn watermelon.
You gotta smash the pumpkin.
I gotta smash that dumbass watermelon.
You give people what they want.
Yeah.
Look, I think Bickle rightfully was the champion today.
Okay.
All right.
I know, but I. Do you understand?
I tasted all of them afterwards. Now, maybe the judging was biased, but I thought yours and his by far are better than
they definitely tasted them.
Yeah.
Do you
yours actually looked the best? I will give you that. Yours looked the best. The color and the
grill marks.
Like your coloring was perfect medium rare, I should say.
Thank
you had just a slight browning on the inside, not just red, disgusting gooey on the inside.
Blood.
Perfectly pink. Yours looked delicious. Now,
it was the resting.
you know what? You might be onto something with that. Well, they all rested kind of the same. Everyone took theirs off at the same time.
No, I took mine off. I took mine off sooner.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
All right.
Because
maybe it was the resting. It looked delicious.
And also I took mine out second out of the fridge and had it sitting there. Did you like my attempt at intimidating everyone by having my meat in the hallway where everyone walked past so they could see how well seasoned and oiled my meat was?
I mean, I saw it sitting out there. I didn't know that it was an intimidation tactic.
Yeah. Intimidation factor.
Right. Okay. Well, I thought it was a fun bit. And, you know, maybe we could do another cooking challenge here soon. I don't know. Drinking show. Obviously we could be able to use fire.
We got to do something with the grill again, except like,
Grill's a lot of big pain in the ass, especially. Dude, I was lifting that thing, weighed like 700 pounds. I had to lift that thing back into Ted's dumb van.
Yeah, well, good thing you're doing CrossFit.
Well, I didn't want to do the lifting. I'm more into the PB&J.
The easy ones like that?
Yeah.
Hey, well, why don't we do something up your alley?
What's up my alley? You know what? You're right. I've never been in one of these things.
Like some sort of
homemade nacho.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
You have a nacho off.
I don't mind a nacho off.
Nacho challenge.
All right. I don't mind that. Maybe we could do that for Cinco de Mayo.
That's funny. When's Dia de los Muertos?
I don't know.
Did you try any of the crab?
No.
You mentioned...
Yeah.
You just...
Well, I just know, I know you, and I know you're two things. Either that you bought that crab yesterday, manager special, or it's been sitting in your freezer and it's freezer burned.
No, dude, I spent $50 on jumbo lump crab meat yesterday.
What?
Yes.
Was that $50 worth of crab? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I have the rest of the back fin that I'm going to make crab cakes over the weekend.
You're going to make crab? Okay.
Yeah. All right. So it's not going to waste. Like, I'm going to use it.
It would go to waste if I ate it. I just wouldn't be able to appreciate it.
You've had crab before, haven't you?
I know, but I don't appreciate crab at all.
Tailgate Ted devoured it.
Well, that's
I got a compliment.
What bigger compliment, you know, what bigger compliment is there than that?
Winning.
That's fair.
Do you feel like it was a cheap tactic on my part to try and sway the judging by having crab and béarnaise together with it?
No, I just thought it was a bit. Like, I didn't think about it. You doing that to win. I just thought you did that for attention.
Well, both.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know you brought the crab meat to try to win.
Of course.
Should have been a better prize. Like, we should have had a prize on the line.
I didn't like Eric screaming that mine's not allowed to be paired together. That should have been up to the judges, not up to Eric and up to you.
I like how Eric thought his was Mike Mars.
I know.
He had no
idea. Mars like look terrible too?
It looked like it was soaked in teriyaki sauce.
I know. You're going to make me puke. I am serious when I said that. Like when it was presented around,
yeah,
it looks so disgusting. It looked like throw up.
It's just, yeah.
I don't know how you make a steak.
It looked like a steak you'd get at some buffet. You know
Cactus,
I mean?
Willie's.
Yeah, like some old strip club buffet steak.
Yeah, those are the type of steaks you get with a lap dance.
Yeah. Exactly.
It looked like if you took a steak and you dropped it in mud,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like light brown mud. That's exactly what it looked like. How do you think the Instagram Live went?
The Instagram Live was fine. I mean, people liked it. I wish we could do it on Monumental, but there was just a couple. It's outside on the loading dock. They don't have
a camera.
It is what it is. I'll never feel that bad about it just because I like the radio show and people listening in their cars.
So, first,
so
yeah.
The radio show always comes first to me. But IG Live was fine, I guess. People seem to be enjoying it. I said great bit. I had 1,000 people streaming.
Did you, are you on to me though about, not on to me, but Cakes might have to turn in his man card.
I know.
The way he operates a grill.
What can get Cakes back on track? What manly thing can get Cakes back on track? I mean, didn't he even get eliminated in the pickleball tournament early?
No, yeah, I think he did. Oh, you mean the one that we did or the one that was at the mall?
No, the one we did.
I don't know.
I thought he got eliminated early. He's supposed to be the pickleball guy.
He needs to like wrestle someone, right?
All right.
If Cakes got into a cage match, mm-hmm. with the Baltimore Ravens fan dude that went out and hit someone in the shoe.
Jack Callis?
Yeah, yeah. If Cakes like beats up Jack Callis, he'd get his man card back.
I like that. yeah, good bit for us today, Valdez. Good job to you. Everyone kind of put together. We always say we don't really know if people like them, but it kind of entertained us. So
it seems like if the guys are having fun,
that's always the goal.
It's always the goal. Have the
guys
engaged.
What do you make of me retweeting that guy who was talking shit about the junkies? I said shit.
Okay. You know what? I've to each his own. I just don't understand if you hate something that much or don't like something, like why do you feel the need to bring us down to hype it up?
But here's the thing, I actually got a kick out of it. It didn't bring me down. These random people that are either hate the junkies because we don't either talk enough sports or don't look. Everyone has different interests. Like, if you want to listen to Al Galdi, and that's your type of radio and breakdown, go listen to Al Galdi. Like, that's not going to hurt our feelings.
Right.
The junkies do plenty well enough. We're doing fine. We have our core. We want our core to listen longer.
Right.
That's what we need. I like mixing it up because I'm kind of already public enemy number one right now for being a Jaden hater, apparently. Even though I'm saying he's playing well, dynamite throw. Just because I haven't inducted him into Canton yet, like everybody else, somehow I'm public enemy number one. So I'm embracing the hate a little bit.
I know you're kind of on your
I'm in my clap back era.
Yeah, clap back. I've noticed that you've actually been on fire tweeting lately.
Thank you.
I want to give you props. Oh, did you also? Sorry. Speaking of Jaden, did you see my ploy to tailgate Ted? To try and win him over.
No.
Where I had my little Jaden figurine in the steak.
Is that what that was? What was that?
That was that because.
Would you have like a toothpick flag?
Yeah, I made a toothpick flag. Because you know how you have a little thing that would say like well done, medium.
Yeah.
I use Jaden Daniels because he's rare, like my steak.
Ugh.
Nobody noticed.
Me and Ted cut the steaks. We didn't notice.
I know.
We weren't paying attention.
I know. I was trying to use every avenue I could to win.
Hey,
and I still couldn't.
Is Roger a superstar?
Yes, he's a superstar.
Do people appreciate Roger?
I don't know. I don't think Roger understands how great he is on air, and I don't know if people love him or not. I can't tell if they get a kick out of him.
He's in our rat pack.
Whack back.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whack back. He's just, to me, closing my eyes and listening, he just entertains the hell out of me. He's such a weirdo that it's just great radio to me.
I love his catchphrase.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Right. Perfect Roger giving out two 10s to four nubby sticks.
I know. He gave the one a 10 and then he gave the other one a 10 plus. I mean, that's funny. A 10 plus.
a 10 plus is. It's, you know, perfect, it's perfect Roger. He gave a 9, a 10, and a 10 plus.
Do you know what he kind of... And I don't want Roger to take this the wrong way, but he kind of reminds me of Beetlejuice.
He's a little bit like Beetlejuice.
Like Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where, like, he just says stuff, and it's kind of nonsensical.
Yeah, that's why, that's the charm of him.
You know what I didn't appreciate?
Even Scott Abraham was loving Roger.
I also love that Roger wore his tightest pants ever. I did not appreciate JP trying to squeeze Roger's catchphrase out of him all the time.
What was he saying, MD?
No, JP was saying, like, how do you like that?
Oh, he was? Yeah, he was leading the witness.
Yeah, he was leading the witness. It's better if it just comes out of him organically.
Do you appreciate me? We were just saying, do you appreciate me hip checking JP when he tried to tell me how to do the big reveal? Oh, yeah. I was like, dude, I know what I'm doing.
I did notice that.
No, which one did you have first? Who's first? I got it. I know what I'm doing here. I've done a couple reveals in my day.
He's trying to build the suspense. He's trying to tell you that each steak got better and better and better.
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of specific order that you were going to do? Like, you knew you wanted to do that?
No, I just didn't want to do them in the same order that Ted cut them. That's the only thing I was thinking.
Okay. And just
because Ted was, you know, he cut Mars first and then Bickles.
Ted was cutting them, did he have any kind of commentary?
No, we were just talking about what was the best side to cut or something like that.
Gotcha.
Good bit. Good time. What's next? The drinking show. We got to start working on the drinking show. Oh, a big sigh from Valdez. He's lamenting the drinking show. What do you got for it?
Yeah. All right. What else?
I think days like today can be a little bit of an inspiration. Like, we know what the kind of stuff that they like.
They like some sort of food, anything with food.
Right. I just think about it, you become a Tim Seymour today. Could we do any sort of food challenge while they're drinking?
Haven't we
juices flowing.
I know. Haven't we done something like we did a cocktail challenge. Cocktail,
yeah. Did we do a Christmas cookie challenge?
We did a gingerbread house.
Remember?
Do you think we could do a cookie challenge?
Well, I like the live aspect of it. Like how we were cooking the steaks live today.
Oh, cookie challenge. It was almost like Emerald.
They're going to bring it in. Now, we did the, not milkshake, what a cocktail challenge, right? A Christmas cocktail. What else is Christmas known for?
Fruitcake.
Well, you can't do that. That's Rupp Spiewak's gimmick.
What else? Christmas ham.
All right.
What about like a ham sandwich? What about the guys make their own sandwiches? EB makes his EBLT. Cakes can do something with his brioche buns again.
I think we'll have to go back to the drawing board. Sandwiches don't scream Christmas to me. But
no, I know. I just got there from ham. Christmas ham.
I got you.
Candy canes, peppermint. I'm running Santa sack.
We'll figure out something here, but I think that I like the challenge aspect of it.
Yes, especially something food related.
All right, so Valdez, we are off to our golf charity hosting gig.
Abbott and Costello over here.
Get ready for a recap next week of Valdez reusing the same liners he did last year. If you guys can go back and listen to last year's Bit Season around this time when we hosted a golf function. So we're going to go do that right now.
Drab's just being angry because I have all the golf shtick.
Hey, I'm not angry. You're the loser today. All right? You got to listen to EB brag about what a better cookie is than you for the next 2 years.
You know what? I might be retiring from cooking.
All right.
I'm out.
Hey, I said I was out on bets.
I'm out.
Oh, I'm out on bets.
Yeah, bets.
I'm not out on bets.
Anyways, see you guys if you're at the tournament. We'll see you guys over at Twin Lakes. And like Dreb said, we'll probably do a little recap of it next week. I'll wear my silver proudly. Matches my hair.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.